And that's why I believe in you, because that is the greatest purpose. It's to love. Honest. It sounds corny, whatever you want to say. I don't care. I love people because there is freedom and power in loving people.
Hello, all you positive heads out there. Thanks for tuning your beautiful brainwaves into another episode of the Positive Head Podcast, where we have the crazy belief that creating success and happiness is a daily conscious effort, which is why we provide you with a fresh serving of soul food for thought 5 days a week. I'm your host, Brandon Beecham, and each and every Wednesday, you can tune in to hear me interview a different consciousness changemaker that is out there working tirelessly to help catalyze change and expand awareness all across Spaceship Earth. On the other 4 weekdays, you can tune in to myself and my co-host, Dalian, giving interpretations of our favorite thought-provoking quotes, sharing a bit of inspiring or mysterious news, taking questions from the audience, and digging into any other mind-expansive topics that will help keep your soul fed by tuning you into positive vibrations on a regular basis. Also, today's episode is sponsored by Procabulary.org. Procabulary offers a brilliant new online language course that I just recently completed myself called Core Language Upgrade. The course material is designed to help you analyze the way you use your words and language to create your reality. I personally believe the words you choose to speak or write out is referred to as spelling for a very good reason. You're literally casting an energetic spell every time you open your mouth, which means it's of the utmost importance that you have a foundational understanding about the power or lack of power that the words you're choosing to use conjures up. I strongly believe language mastery is a highly important skill set that way too few people have taken it upon themselves to become educated on. And what Procabulary does is actually provides you with an incredibly easy-to-follow roadmap that only takes about 10 minutes a day, spanned over 21 days to complete, which shows you how to go about changing your language patterns so that you can start getting better results in every aspect of your life. Now, as a Positive Head Podcast listener, if you decide to go to Procabulary.org and purchase the Core Language Upgrade course, you'll get 33% off if you use the promo code POSITIVEHEAD, all one word, on the checkout page. The retail price for Core Language Upgrade is normally $299, and I'd say it's really worth every penny of that, but it's especially worth it after your 33% Positive Head discount because it drops the price to $199. That's a crazy good deal that I had to do some serious convincing to get the guys at Procabulary to give to our listeners, so I really hope some of you will take advantage of it while it lasts. Also, if you need more convincing about the power of Procabulary, check out Positive Head Podcast number 20, where I actually interview Procabulary co-founder Mark England, and we discuss language mastery in great detail. All right. Welcome to another episode of the Positive Head Podcast, Mr. Dalian.
Hi. Welcome to another day in eternity.
Another day floating in eternity.
In this linear eternity.
What else to do but to make a podcast?
It seems like a linear process, but it's only an illusion.
Yeah,
No, actually, it's funny, Brandon. I will go ahead and quickly get into this. I was just watching clips of comedian Stephen Wright on YouTube, the famous absurd comedy comic.
Who?
Stephen Wright.
I'm not sure
he's
if
the
I'm
one
familiar.
With the very deadpan delivery.
Okay.
So, like, you've seen Stephen Wright before on, like, movie. Oh, I'm sorry. One of his, like, famous roles you might know him from is the couch guy from the movie... Whatchamacallit, Half-Baked.
Oh, yeah.
The he's dude that's just like the dude, right?
The
dude.
Who's the guy that lives on the couch and no one knows?
Yeah, he always delivers everything in this monotone, right? But anyway, he was on Craig Ferguson's show some years ago and quickly got into a pretty existential argument about like the now and how like every moment is the now. So like everything you say is now.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, then later... Craig would reply, but it was in a future now that became now. And when they started going down that path, I'm like, oh, interesting.
Wow. Okay.
Comedians waxing a little philosophical.
Well, that happens a lot. You get, you know, Bill Hicks, of course, the famous comedian who had a lot to say about the ultimate nature of reality and the system and bucking the system and all those things. But,
good stuff. A lot of good stuff.
Yeah. He was a big proponent of, magic mushrooms, I believe. I watched his story not too long ago.
Yeah, well, people like him immediately make me think of other people like George Carlin, who I also found much more sort of, George Carlin could be really funny, of course, but a lot of what he said was just sort of this like personal diatribes that were actually, you know, in line with a lot of what I believe, right?
Yeah.
So,
Well, cool. Well, what do we got digging into mysterious news? What do you got? What do you got today for me and for the listeners?
Well, today what I got is a bit of knowledge. I think it was an article that was recently published on Noisy. I found it on Noisy, I think. It's a Vice.com channel.
Okay, yeah.
And it might have been like their UK version of their site, or perhaps Dig. I can't remember exactly where. I went back and tried to source more information, and if you just Google this person's name, you can find plenty, of course. But yeah, this is the subject of my story today. Dion McGregor. This is a gentleman that lived, he passed away in 1994, so he lived essentially in the 20th century, right?
Mm-hmm.
But he was a songwriter in New York City, aspiring songwriter, who became the world's most famous sleep talker. That's why I was like pretty fascinated with the story.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, not only did he talk in his sleep, but this guy just went on for hours, apparently.
Wow.
Yeah, he would just go on and on and just essentially narrate his dreams in astonishing detail. So yeah, it was extremely fascinating because he seems far and away like the most standout case of this sort of thing, to the point where in the 1960s, Brandon, Decca Records, a famous record label from that era, released an album that became a, you know, pretty decent hit. It was called The Dream World of Dion McGregor.
Oh, wow.
And one of the things that I recall is seeing, I didn't find the original article where I located the SoundCloud clips that were embedded in the article from him talking. But it turns out if you just go to SoundCloud and look up his name, Dion McGregor, D-I-O-N McGregor,
mm-hmm.
you find plenty of, like, a ton of clips come up right away.
Okay.
With this guy. So you can go on there or on YouTube, for example, and actually, you know, listen to some of the... and it's pretty fascinating, too, because a lot of what he's talking about is the predictable of, you know, sort of dream logic, you know, random, you could say random, right? Dream sort of, you know, narratives that don't really make sense, you know.
Uh-huh.
But on the other hand, though, there's definitely a consistency and a certain kind of logic to it all that's like pretty fascinating from what, you know, the stories really kind of show. This guy was recorded by one of his like apartment roommates, basically, who was another songwriter at the time or whatever, you know, who became aware of Dion talking in his sleep plenty. So he would sneak into his room and place a microphone and then play it back for the guy.
Unbeknownst to Dion?
Huh. Well, yeah. Then he would play it back for Dion and show him, like, hey, I've been recording you. He was relatively amused by this ongoing ability that he was displaying. But he also said later at one point that, you know, he wasn't all that proud of it. It was, like, known for being the world's most famous bedwetter.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He wet the bed, too?
No. Oh. I'm not saying it was sort of like his figurative feeling what he was. Yeah, because gotcha. He was revealing something, you know, relatively intimate.
Let me get this straight. He wrote the album in his sleep to some degree?
In a way, you could say that. The album was composed of recordings of him talking in his sleep. So,
oh, okay. So it's not an actual musical album.
No,
it's like an album of his sleep sessions, essentially.
Yes, yes.
I see. Well, you know, as soon as you said the most famous sleep talker, I instantly thought of the sleeping prophet, Edgar Cayce, who, you know, for those of you, probably many of you have heard of him. He's really the most famous psychic in what, the 20s, 30s?
Yes.
Would go into like a trance-like state, sleep-like state, and, you know, recount all kinds of information about, I mean, you name it, from diseases to Atlantis to, he's incredible. I mean, there's volumes. Actually, where I grew up in, you know, Southern Virginia, in Virginia Beach area. Yeah, there's an Edgar Cayce Museum. And, he, you know, supposedly cured all kinds of people with, you know, he was an uneducated guy and he would go into these trance-like states and he would read people and, you know, prescribe different medicines for them or different cures that were, you know, unorthodox. And, you know, people were lined up for years to get read by him, and he did it for years and years and years. So there's like a whole library of his writings, and he talked about some really interesting things. Actually, I just saw quote randomly right before we started, someone had posted about, you know, him saying in his sleep state that alcohol, that cancer cannot thrive in an alkaline, in an acidic environment. So if your body is alkaline, you know, it cannot live. And we know that all to be true now. And so there's a lot of really, he talked about ancient civilizations. He talked about, you know, what's going to happen in the future. For those of you who haven't looked into him, Edgar Cayce's pretty fascinating. So I would recommend checking that out.
Yeah, you're right in that he would also really be the other world's most famous sleep talker for sure. Because he, of course, a lot of what you're referencing is, you know, very detailed information that he volumes of information, in fact, right?
Yeah.
That he delivered while in a deep trance, right? So, of course, that could be considered a form of sleep. One thing that I thought was interesting, too, is that he supposedly was deeply Christian. So, you know, of course, he came to have a view where his own gift and everything, you know, wasn't necessarily in conflict with some of the more, you know, conservative Christian views mm-hmm. as to that sort of thing being, you know, satanic influence. For him, there was a very strong connection with, you know, the God of Christianity.
Interesting. I didn't know that. Yeah. Well, there's a book that came out, you know, there's people that claim, and I believe even David Wilcock himself claims to be the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, who some of you may be familiar with him. And that's an interesting story. Someone wrote a book about it. I forget exactly what it's called, but comparing all the kind of similarities and, you know, synchronicities or whatever between David Wilcock and Edgar Cayce, and they do look strikingly similar.
Was not aware of this.
Yeah. So that's another thing for those, just to give you guys some tidbits of things to go explore, the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce and just the teachings of Edgar Cayce in general. And of course, David Wilcock he's a pretty interesting character. I mean, he talks about a lot of, you know, very a lot of conspiracy theory kind of stuff, and he's definitely an intelligent guy, and I've read some of his books and seen some of his talks and things like that. So he's definitely on a similar wavelength.
Yeah, there you have it. Two fascinating individuals, an otherwise average person who narrated their dreams in incredible detail.
And I believe he's from Virginia Beach too, as well, which is where the Edgar Cayce Museum is.
So. Uh huh. Yeah. No, there's some really interesting connections, like the Robert Monroe Institute in the story of that whole, you know, that gentleman, Robert Monroe, the former businessman, I believe, who didn't really have any kind of a background in the mystical sciences, but ended up founding the Monroe Institute.
Oh, yes, the research. Monroe Institute, yeah, which is also in Virginia.
Right.
And he was someone that could, like, spontaneously astral project and things like
that,
right. I
believe. This was the thing, is that he, right.
Yeah, and I think that's even something that came up maybe in my interview with Lauren Cielo. But anyway, all interesting stuff. We could go on and on, of course, but we won't. We'll go on and on about something else. So moving right along, I would like to move into the positive pondering breakdown of the day. And the quote that I would like to share is by Jack Canfield. And the quote is, "Everything you want is on the other side of fear." Fear, as Jim Carrey so eloquently put it in a recent speech, it's going to be a player in your life. You get to decide how much. And in that speech, he recounts his father, who he says, you know, could have been a great comedian, but he didn't think that was possible for him. So he took the safe route and became an accountant and, you know, sort of went down the normal path, so to speak, right? And at about 12 years old, Jim said he lost that job. He was laid off, and they went through very hard times. And he said, Jim went on in the speech to say, you know, I learned a lot from my father, not the least of which is that you can fail at doing what you don't want. So you might as well do what you do want. And I think that is such a great, powerful lesson. And I know, as if you're listening, you've dealt with fear. We all have. It is a player in all of our lives. We get to decide how much. And if you, it's really goes back to something that we say all the time, you know, challenges are blessings. And if you learn to see them as blessings, you can take that sort of lump of coal and turn it into a diamond. And that's a huge thing. You know, we've seen fear spelled out, you know, F-E-A-R, forget everything and run, or face everything and rise. The choice is yours. And I encourage any and everyone listening, you know, fear, so many people forget everything and run. They're always running from their fears. They're always running from their fears. And as soon as you are willing to face your fears, you find that they're actually, there's something golden hiding behind them. So it's, you know, I believe that's the big trick, the big gag with this reality in general. Everything that's a challenge or that you dislike or that you're scared of, it's a farce. Behind it is everything that you've been dreaming of. Everything that you've wanted is waiting for you to face that fear within yourself and push yourself farther. And this doesn't mean to walk into oncoming traffic. This means to be, you know, be willing to face the things that are holding you back. Be willing to take the risk. Be willing to, you know, reach for your dreams. Be willing to get up that 10th time after you've been knocked down 9 others. That's what it's about. That's where all the magic lives. And so anyone listening, and I'm sure this will hit people that have been dealing with fearful thoughts in a synchronistical timing, as always seems to happen, I challenge you to not let your fear, think back. How many times have you let fears hold you back? And where did it get you? It got you held back. You know, push through, push yourself harder. You can do it. And everything that you want is on the other side of fear, as Jack Canfield said. And what I would like to do, of course, is, as I often do, is bring in someone else's perspective on this matter. And this is someone, Daly, and I don't know if we've shared before, Neil Donald Walsh.
And I understand we haven't played any clips from him.
Yeah,
yet.
Neil Donald Walsh is author of some of the most influential books in my own life, Conversations with God. So any of you listening who have, you know, maybe wondered what would be a good book to read to kind of delve more into the subject matters we talk about on the show, Conversations with God, there's like 5 or 6 of them in a series. I recommend them all. It's such powerful, powerful reading. And just to give you a little background on Neil, he was homeless, living in campsites and down and out. And he started writing questions and frustration to God. And he started receiving answers and he started notating those answers, which he then turned into the book Conversations with God. And of course, people will say, oh, yeah, that's, you know, probably all in his head. And well, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter to me whether it's in his head or it came from some higher source, because essentially, he is God by my beliefs and by his account. You know, that's really one of the things that it talks about. We're all literally God in the physical form. So wherever it came from God, because if it came through, period. And it is, I will say this, it is inspired, definitely inspired material. It lays out the construct of reality, the hows, wheres, whens, and whys, that all this existence is happening in a way that is really certainly inspired, you know, in spirit. So this is Neil Donald Walsh speaking, the author of Conversations with God. This is, I found on the Manifestation YouTube channel, and it's titled Discussing the Emotion of Fear. Take a listen.
The biggest problem on the planet today is fear. It's been a problem for a long time, but it's a huge problem now. It's getting bigger every day. And the reason that fear is a problem, of course, is that it affects everything. Everything we think and say and do, all the decisions and choices we make, all of our reactions, all of our responses, everything that we're experiencing can come from only one of two places. Conversations with God has made that very clear to me. We're either coming from love or we're coming from fear. And my observation is that most people, most of the time, and myself, more than I would like to acknowledge, coming from fear. So we have to look at our fears and find out, what is fear anyway? What is it all about? What are we afraid of? And what impact is it having on the choices and decisions and the creations for which we have made ourselves responsible? By the way, that's one of the first fears that there is, the fear of being responsible, the fear of placing ourselves in a position of responsibility for all that we are creating. So fear is the first aspect of the human experience, as I understand it, that we need to work very hard to heal, and I might even say to transform. You transform fear, and you transform the world. Now let's take a look at what it is that we're afraid of. First of all, as I observe it, we're afraid of life itself. and so much that goes on in life. We're afraid of life because we're afraid of death. Conversations with God says that all fear, ultimately, is a fear of death. If you're not afraid to die, then you're not afraid to live. But how can you not be afraid to die? Well, you cannot be afraid to die if you understand what death is, and as a result of that understanding, you understand what life is. The wonderful book, Home with God, in A Life That Never Ends, explains all this in extraordinary detail. It talks about the moment of our death, the process of death itself, and the reason that we're experiencing life as we are on this planet. I would suggest that anybody who wants to know more about this this particular subject take a good look at that book. It's very difficult after reading that text to be afraid at any deep level of dying. And when that fear goes away, as I said, then fear of life disappears as well. We're afraid of nothing and no one because, and there's a very good reason why. See, all fear is based on the idea that we need something. That's what fear is, really. You want to know what fear is defined? The definition of fear is the thought that we are not going to be able to have something we think we need. It's as simple as that. The person who doesn't need anything has no fear of anything. When I don't need anything from you, I don't fear you. When I don't even need my own life, in a sense, when I don't think that I need this particular version of life in this particular physical form, then I'm not afraid even if you kill me. Then I really don't need you for anything. I don't even need you to stop killing me. That creates true fearlessness. And most spiritual masters reside in that place, a place of utter fearlessness. So when I begin to look at my own fears and begin to feel them, and when I have an idea that my fears are starting to, how do I say this, overcome me, overpower me almost, paralyze me, because all of us have been paralyzed by fear at one time or another. Some of us more often than we'd like to admit. When I get into that place, I take a close look at, what do I think I need? What is it that I think that I need here? Because that's what it is. Fear is need announced. So I look at, what am I thinking that I need? And is it possible that I really don't need that? Could I get along without it? What would happen if I didn't have that? What would happen if I didn't receive that? What would happen if what I think I need, I didn't experience or couldn't experience? See, then there are two ways that fear manifests itself. The idea that I will not get what I need, I'm not going to receive that, or the idea that I'm going to lose something that I need. I have it now, but I'm going to lose it. And that's most often presenting itself in human experience, as I observe it, in relationships. It presents itself in other ways as well. We have fears around money, fears around power, fears around health, and many other items. But more often than not, almost all the fears that I see people experiencing have to do with relationships of one kind or another, and especially those delicate relationships that we call romantic intertwinings of the human experience. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. First, I'm afraid that no one's going to love me, and then I'm afraid if somebody does, I'm going to lose the love. And how I solve that, when I do, except when I don't, but how I solve that when I do, how I get into a place of what I want to call spiritual health, is when I understand who I truly am and that I actually don't need the love of another or any other in order to experience who I truly am, in order to experience serenity, peace, joy, happiness. Every time I think that my joy is obtainable, or that I'm sourced with my joy, that my joy comes from someplace outside of myself, I get into fear. Every time I'm clear that the source of my joy does not exist outside of myself, but is given to me, from me, by me, my fear disappears. And here's the irony of that. I then become much more attractive to people, and what I was afraid of, that people would walk away from me, in fact, doesn't happen. The reverse happens. People are attracted to me because all people are attracted to other people who are firm and strong, not arrogant, but aware and reside deep inside of themselves because nobody likes to be needed. Because if I feel that you need me so much, then my next fear will be I can't give you what you need, and that's why I'll lose you, you see. So people who present themselves to the world as serene and peaceful and joyful and innately happy. These are people we say are together. They have it together. These are people who are aware that their happiness, their joy, and their peace comes from within. That's words we hear from every spiritual master. We hear them in all the spiritual books. But that experience is attainable. We can find it. We can go there. And that's, I think, the spiritual journey. That's the path to transformation. That's the movement away from fear. Someone once said to me that there's a great acronym for fear. Feeling excited and ready. Oh, I love that. I had a great teacher say to me one time years ago, call your fears adventure. What a great thought. So I'd like to maybe leave you with that thought for today. Whatever you're afraid of right now, realize a couple of things. One, it's not real. You're making it all up. Two, if the thing that you're afraid would happen actually did happen, you and I would still be here tomorrow. It really would make no difference at all. Unless, of course, you wouldn't be here tomorrow, in which case it absolutely would make no difference at all. Three, if you can call your fears adventure, you'll bring in an energy that will heal the fear, the energy of excitement, the energy of being inspired by life itself. Because life, you see, is a process that informs life about life through the process of life itself. And if you live your life filled with inspiration and excitement, soon there's nothing to be afraid of. And it becomes the great joy it was always intended to be. That's how I see it. That's what my conversations with God told me about fear. I could be wrong, of course, about all of this. But I don't think so.
So, first thing he touched on, which you hear all the time, two options in any instance, love or fear. What's it going to be? Are you going to deal with the situation in fear? Or are you going to deal with it in love? Love is the universal truth of everything, in my opinion. And there is no other choice. Any other choice leads somewhere other than where you want to reside, assuming you want to reside in the most happy, peaceful, loving, joyous state possible. It's the only choice. He talked about some really interesting things, Dale, and he talked about, the fear of being responsible is the first aspect in us that needs transforming. We're fearful that we're not good enough. We're not going to hold up. We're not going to perform well enough. So we run from responsibility. I encourage everyone to just stop. Just your attempt to doing your best is all that's required. Transform fear and you transform the world, he said. And, of course, he goes on to say we're afraid of life because we're afraid of death. And all fear is based on the idea that we need something, the thought that we're not going to be able to get something we need. But and it's something that we talk about all the time, we don't need anything, right? If you can, in this moment, what do you think you need? Okay, now imagine not having it. Is the world going to stop? It's not going to stop. So, fear, come from the idea I can't get it, or I'm going to lose it. And really, you're self-contained, self-sufficient being. You're a spiritual being that's always been and always will be, floating in eternity. Change is guaranteed. What else matters? Nothing, right? So, of course, then he goes on to talk about a lot of fear surrounding relationships. And that's a big one, spiritual health, not needing the love of another. Once again, once you realize you're a self-sufficient being, you come together with someone else, not because they're your better half. You aren't a half. You come together with someone because you want to share experience with them. And no, that experience is not going to last. Go into it knowing. And that's what makes it beautiful. It is transient. Every experience is transient. That's what makes it special. Be grateful, be thankful of that, be appreciative of that. Don't resist that, don't fear that, because in reality, you're in eternity with that being anyway, so you can't really lose them. You can only take vacations from one another. So appreciate when you're experiencing, you're vacationing in eternity together, and know that there will be a time when you vacation separately in eternity, and you'll revisit again, and you never run out of opportunities for a new visit. And it may not be in this life, it may not be in 100 lives. Doesn't matter. You have eternity. You're old. So get used to that idea and move out of fear, so many different ways people lay it out. Of course, we talked about forget everything and run, or face everything and rise. You hear feeling excited and ready. I really like that idea, Dale. And he talked about call your fears a great adventure. You know, you're making it all up. If what you fear happened, you'd still be here tomorrow. Start calling it an adventure instead. Look, have you ever even thought of that? Has that even crossed your mind to look at fear as this thing to be excited about? It's an adventure and excitement. That's a game changer. I challenge anyone to do that and see the results. See the lump of coal transform into a diamond and realize, holy crap, this is the key to my freedom.
Yeah. Not only is fear or can it be potentially a great adventure, but you could embark on one of the greatest adventures of your life right now by saying to yourself, I'm going to go out there and start facing all my fears one by one. I'm going to go out there and start just dealing with them head on and seeing them for what they are
and
dealing
with them, the beauty that's hiding just behind them.
yeah, exactly. And you will find the adventure that life will bring you by, you know, making that conscious choice. Life will essentially say to you, oh, okay, yeah, you're ready for this, yeah. Big boy? You're ready to start facing your fears? Well, yeah, it will do exactly what you said. And that's what's so beautiful, because it will bring you your deepest fears, but it will show you what's on the other side of them. And it's always these things like, you know, your greatest desires, how, you know, so much of what fear is linked to our desires, like you've said, right? Yeah. Like Neil indicated, even the desire to hold on to this body, a very natural, right? Yeah. Desire that's encoded into ourselves, right?
Yeah.
We want to instinctively defend it and protect it. But in the instant that your body's perhaps even being threatened, you can, like a spiritual master, switch to that other frequency where you're like, oh, well, wait a minute. I realize that if you were to try to take my life, it would be over for me in an instant, perhaps. Perhaps I wouldn't feel any pain. Mm-hmm. And I would be back in that source perspective, like where I would know that everything's fine. So let me just go ahead and preempt all that by knowing right now that everything's fine.
It's all right. It's all about changing your perspective to the grandest perspective.
Exactly. And
all fear. You know, does God fear? No.
Yeah.
It's about moving into that perspective. I'm a divine, eternal being that's always been and always will be. Change is guaranteed. If I don't like something, no worries, because change is guaranteed. And I'm just going to relax into this moment and let everything unfold. I'm going to be like water. I'm just going to roll with it and flow with it. So.
But that's what I think we've done a little bit here. And that's what I think is so great, is seeing fear and all these negative things or what appear to be negative things from the more enlightened perspective, from the grandest perspective, all these things are really the offshoots of love in a sense, right? So yep. It's just like so wonderful to see how, yeah, like fear is sort of the gatekeeper between you and your deepest desires, your greatest dreams for life.
Yep.
Everything, including and up to death, is a blessing in disguise, really. And yeah. It's sometimes not even so much in disguise. It's like, you know, just right there telling you this is what you're here for, to deal with these fears, to face it all, and to come out the other side. So
absolutely. Well, Dalian, I'm afraid that we've run out of imaginary time. No, I'm not afraid. I'm facing my fear of the podcast being over for today and telling you, because there's always tomorrow. So I'm joyfully done for today. We're joyfully done for today. But we do have some really tasty music to play. This is one that I've been loving for a long time. And it just kind of popped in my head this morning. Like, oh, I haven't played this yet. And I love this track. And it is Kangi and Occult featuring Sigalola. And it's the Audlist remix. It's called Same Kind. So we hope you enjoy it as much as we do. And before we check out the musical tastings for today, I would like to add, if you have enjoyed this positive download from our hearts and minds to yours, please take a minute, give us a rating or review on iTunes, since iTunes is the holy grail of all things podcasting. Your good reviews help us to reach more listeners. Also, we would be extremely appreciative if you would tell your friends and family about the show. Our sincere intent with the Positive Head podcast is to spread positivity to the world because we're selfish, quite honestly. I say that jokingly, but really only halfway joking. I'm referring to the good kind of selfish, based on the knowing that we all get what we give in this life, because when we give, we're actually always giving to extensions of self, since we're all really one in the same consciousness, just in different bodies. So if you want to be a good selfish along with us by helping to spread the positivity, by all means, please proceed to shout about the Positive Head podcast from your rooftop. Otherwise, as you continue on your fabulous journey in this 3D reality, be sure to remember this. As long as you ain't dead, you're already positive ahead. Journey well, everyone, and thank you for being.
Seems like the stars have aligned.
Whether you're looking to build a website for your business, your hobby, your podcast, or just for fun, Pear Networks is your go-to web hosting partner. Not only do we have the lowest domain price in the industry, starting at just $11, we've got hundreds of stunning website templates to help you stand out from the crowd. You're not a techie? Not a problem. With our easy DIY site builders, you can launch your impressive website without any technical know-how. And when it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. Check out pear.com today to learn more. PAIR.com.